Thank you, Mr. Pavlik, and a good afternoon to you all. A hydrogen atom walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Why so sad?" The hydrogen atom says, "I've lost my electron." And the bartender replies, "Are you sure?" The atom responds, "Yes, I'm positive." A neutron walks into a bar and asks the bartender, "How much for a beer?" The bartender says, "For you, no charge." Did you know that all atoms are Catholic? Yes, because they have mass. Why can you never trust an atom? Because they make up everything. In case you didn't get any of these jokes, please see Professor Patchinger after the service today and he will explain them for you. I just tell them. I can't explain them. Those of you who've heard me speak before know I tend to like science a bit. What's the term I'm looking for? And for all of you out there mouthing geek, nerd, thank you very much. I was actually looking for the phrase aficionado. I'm a science aficionado. Now, to do that correctly, you have to get the pinky up. Aficionado. Now, I know all the kids out there are going to be asking their parents after services, "What kind of fish did he say he was?" Just be prepared. Well, as you do know, I do enjoy science. And today, we're going to deal with some scientific topics. In Psalm 139, verse 14, David says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Today, we're going to explore some of science's impressive discoveries about these amazing human bodies our Creator has provided for us. We'll deal with three significant discoveries in the field of cell biology and neuroplasticity of the brain. And we'll see how the science reflects principles contained in the Bible. So let's start off. And here's the first discovery. Number one, on a cellular level, you're not the same person you used to be. On a cellular level, you're not the same person you used to be. I'm going to be reading today from segments of a book that's titled Mind to Matter. And I'm not necessarily recommending this book because there's some strange ideas in it, but the science that is summarized in the book is very interesting and it's helpful for our use today. So, from Mind to Matter, you are not the same person you were a second ago, let alone yesterday. Your body is replacing cells and rejuvenating its systems at a frantic pace. Your body contains some 37 trillion cells. I'm going to omit all of the references of articles and publications, so we'll just go with the flow of the text. That's a much bigger number than the count of galaxies in the known universe. Old cells are dying, and new ones replacing them all the time. Each second, over 810,000 cells are being replaced. That's per second. Your body produces 1 trillion new blood cells per day. In case you didn't know, that's a big number. As they circulate through your veins and arteries, red blood cells carry oxygen and nutrients to other cells in your body. Each blood cell has a lifetime of about 4 months, after which the liver extracts its vital ingredients and sends the rest to the spleen for recycling. You don't have a single red blood cell in your body that you had 6 months ago. Every one has been replaced. In another heading, your body is constantly regenerating itself. The lining of your digestive tract also undergoes rapid turnover. It's replaced every 4 days. Your lung tissue, every 8 days. Even the densest of tissue, your bones, are constantly regenerating, with 10% of your skeleton being replaced each year. There are about 84 billion neurons in the brain, along with a similar number of non-neural cells. Our brains are growing new neural cells continually, and each cell can contain thousands of interconnected webs of an estimated 150 trillion synapses. Our brains are replacing at least one neuron per second. The hippocampus is the part of the brain responsible for memory and learning. It's constantly adding new neurons and synapses while pruning others. Some neural pathways are shrinking, and the volume of those parts of the hippocampus diminishes. Other neural pathways are growing, and their volume is expanding. When a patient has a liver transplant, half the liver of the donor is typically removed and transplanted into the body of the new host. Yet so fast do liver cells regenerate that within 8 weeks, the donor's liver has grown back to its original size. The oldest cells now in your liver are about 5 months old. Even the heart regenerates. Until very recently, scientists believed that the heart does not regenerate, and once heart cells have died, they're not replaced. But recent research shows that the heart tissue contains regions of stem cells that are available to replace damaged or dead cells, and that the entire heart regenerates at least 3 times in the course of a person's life. The corneal cells on the surface of your eye can regenerate within 24 hours. Your skin is being entirely replaced every month. The lining of your stomach is renewing itself every week, and your colon even faster. The self that you were yesterday is not the self you are today. Welcome to the new you. If you're looking for a title for this message, that last phrase from the book pretty well sums it up. Welcome to the new you. Now, these principles that we were examining about the human body and cells regenerating and repopulating is reflected in spiritual principles as well. And so now let's turn to the Bible, and we'll pick up on some themes that are consistent with what we've just read about this amazing ability of the body to regenerate. We'll start with in 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Just as cells die and die off and get replaced in the body, spiritually, our inward man is supposed to be pruning back things that are not helpful, are not appropriate, not useful, and not consistent with God's way, and being renewed spiritually day by day. At least we should be. That is the goal. We're going to touch a little more on that as we go through this sermon, this idea, daily renewal. While we're in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17, I don't even have to turn my page. You may have to flip a page, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For those who are in Christ, this new creation means that the old characteristics, the old way of thinking, the old behavioral patterns have been pruned back. They've been put away, and something new is growing to replace them, just like those cells in the body. When they're no longer useful, they get pruned back. They get recycled, taken out of the system, and something new is to come in and replace them. Paul continues a theme that echoes in several books. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 14. How about that would be 17 through 24. We can do it 17 through 14, but it actually reads better 17 through 24. So if we will go to Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Notice this theme about what was old gets left behind. It's no longer allowed to remain around. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The parallels to what the body does with cells as they grow old, it just stands out to me here. That which grows old has to be recycled, put away. It's no longer kept around. It's replaced by thinking, by conduct that is spiritually based, that is beneficial, that produces spiritual growth. And so Paul tells us in verse 24 that we're to put on a new man. That old man with the old characteristics is put away. All right, so what does this new man look like? New cells, new man. Let's keep reading here, beginning in verse 25 through 32. Because Paul has brought up this subject about becoming a new man, and then he tells us some of what the new man looks like. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. All right? Lying, that's an old way of living. It's got to be put away. It's got to be destroyed by the body. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those are characteristics of the old man, the old man that has to be rooted out and allowed to die. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae also about the new man. And let's read what he said to the church at Colossae. And it's consistent with what he told the church at Ephesus. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 10. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Now we're starting in verse 10 to provide the context of what we're now going to read after verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Notice those themes, the new man being renewed, just like old cells get replaced and renewed. This new man is to grow and become something different. Just like we heard in the scientific reading, the cells you carry today, who you are today is so different than who you were a few months ago because so much has been replaced. That's true on the spiritual level as well. So Paul tells us in verse 10, we're talking about the new man. Now let's go back up and read verses 1 through 2. Still in Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This is one of my favorite memory scriptures because it's so helpful when the mind starts, as you would say, walking in the footsteps of the old man and you need to reorient what you're thinking. This one is a good one to bring to mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, because so much of this earthly life can absolutely consume us. And if that's where our focus is, at this physical level, we're going to miss all of this, well, not all of them, but we are at risk of missing the spiritual opportunities to see how we can do better and put godly principles in action in our lives. So let's keep reading in verse 3. For you died, just like those old cells that are no longer functioning properly, they die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's a good description of the old man. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these. We put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So, just as he did with the Ephesians, Paul tells us a bit about what the old man looks like, but he also tells us more about what the new man looks like. So let's continue reading verses 12 through 17 of Colossians chapter 3 as he describes the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God reign in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul has told us in multiple places how the old has to be recycled. The old can't stick around. It has to be renewed with new spiritual growth. So let's move on to another discovery, again in cell biology. This one is not maybe quite as recent as the one we just reviewed, but discovery number two, your cells need the proper inputs in order to grow and flourish. Your cells need the proper inputs in order to grow and flourish. Now I'm returning to the book, Mind to Matter, for a shorter reading, but on the topic of your cells need the proper inputs in order to grow and flourish. begins with a heading that says, your body uses the materials you make available to it. When you look in the mirror each morning, you might believe you're seeing yesterday's face staring back at you. But during the previous day, your body replaced some 60 billion cells. You're a different physical being than you were the day before. It certainly echoes of the first discovery we reviewed. This extensive daily remodeling of the body is not happening in a vacuum. You are shaping the quality of cells your body produces with the material inputs, such as the food you eat and the water you drink. When you eat high-quality foods, your body has the raw materials with which to create high-quality proteins, the molecular building blocks of cells. When you eat low-quality food, the body only has substandard materials out of which to fashion new proteins. When your food lacks vital nutrients, your body is forced to make compromises, and those trade-offs can eventually damage your health. Think of your body as a factory, and the cell it produces as cars. If the finest steel is being delivered to its loading docks by freight companies, and it has excellent glass, flexible rubber, and advanced composites at its disposal, the factory can build high-quality cars. But if the rubber is brittle, or the glass opaque, or the steel weak, the final product is compromised. The factory can't build excellent cars out of shoddy ingredients. If the matter going in is inadequate, the matter emerging from your body's manufacturing cycle will be of poor quality. Garbage in, garbage out. This concept also appears regularly in the pages of our Bible. So let's take a look at some of the spiritual and biblical principles that are consistent with this discovery that we're discussing about your cells need the proper inputs in order to grow and flourish. We're going to begin at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. Peter is closing his second book by telling us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Spiritual growth is required. But how? How do we provide the right inputs for spiritual growth? This will not cover all of the possibilities, but we'll hit on a few. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, and we've got a few that sort of resemble that today in our congregation. It's great to see the young ones. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So one of those spiritual inputs that is absolutely essential for spiritual growth, for quality spiritual growth, is the word. And it's, Peter likens it to the milk. It's so essential. With those little babies when they're newborn, milk is what they crave. Milk is what they were designed to consume. And without milk, there will be some potential health problems that may well develop. Man can do his best to come up with synthetic formula, and there are times when synthetic formula absolutely has to be used. But if at all possible, the design of the Creator was that children flourish on the milk. Peter uses that powerful analogy that just as babies absolutely need the milk from mom, we need the milk of the Word of God. We have to be in that Word if we're going to have quality spiritual inputs to produce growth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll look at some additional spiritual inputs. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "To the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." In these short verses, especially between verses 3 and 4, there are so many elements that are the types of spiritual inputs for proper, healthy spiritual growth. Our faith is important. We must be doing our very best to have faith, to exercise it. We must love one another. We must show it through patience. We must endure. Everyone has something that they have to endure, but patiently enduring whatever is given to you in the hand of cards that God has dealt, that is what we are to deal with. We are dealt the hand. It's not whether the hand is a winner or a loser. It's how gracefully we play the cards we're dealt. And those principles bring spiritual growth. They are among the spiritual nutrients that are essential for spiritual growth. We have some additional spiritual inputs for growth. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. We'll begin reading in verse 10. Romans 12. Verses 10 through 13. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Once again, short verses, but jam-packed full of spiritual inputs that we can use to develop spiritual growth, including showing brotherly love to one another, showing honor to one another and respect, serving diligently whatever opportunity you have to serve, continuous, steadfast prayer. Prayer is such an important element of spiritual growth. It connects us with our Father. He speaks to us through His Word. We speak with Him in prayer, and the conversation strengthens us altogether. Distributing to the needs of the saints, being hospitable to one another. Those are practical steps, practical inputs that we can utilize to produce the spiritual growth that we need. We have some more, and these are from Jesus Himself. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Verse 18 gives us the context. Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And he says in verse 18, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." So this is his explanation of the parable of the sower so that it is his disciples will understand. Now in verse 20, he comes and gives us a warning about the importance of the proper spiritual environment. "But he who has received the seed on stony ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So lack of a proper spiritual environment with the proper spiritual input puts us at spiritual risk. This is serious business. Then verse 22, "Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Another warning that yes, we can start off well, but if we starve ourselves of those spiritual inputs that are so necessary, we can wither, we can die. And remember Colossians 3:2, keep your mind set on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 22 here, Jesus is echoing the same thing. If you get too concerned with what's going on here and now, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, you run the risk of losing sight of the end goal. And it's possible to become unfruitful. And we don't want any of us to become unfruitful. And now verse 23. "But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit." He's producing, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So even there in the parable of the sower, Christ is telling us, you got to have the right spiritual inputs. The right spiritual inputs produce spiritual growth. Growth toward eternal life. Growth in character and the positive traits that God expects of us. Starvation of our spirits puts us at risk of very ill spiritual health. And just as the body can become ill and die, it is possible for those called by God to get sidetracked and not stay on the program. None of us want to go there. Let's look at our third and final scientific discovery. And now we're turning to the world of neuroplasticity of the brain. Discovery number three, you become what you think. You become what you think. I'm going to return again to the book Mind to Matter. And read you a section focusing on the brain. "Our brains are on the boil. Frenetic cellular activity cycles through the brain constantly, creating and destroying molecules and cells, whether we are awake or asleep. Even the structure of neurons is constantly changing. Microtubules are the scaffolding that gives cells their rigidity, similar to the way girders shape a building. The microtubules in the brain's nerve cells have a shelf life of just 10 minutes between creation and destruction. That's how quickly our brains are changing. In this seething mass of activity, selected neural circuits are enhanced. The ones that grow are the ones we use. Pass an information signal repeatedly through a neural bundle, and the bundle starts to enlarge. Just as the arms of a bodybuilder get bigger as he practices lifting heavier weights, our neural circuits grow when we exercise them. Studies published in the 1990s stunned neuroscientists with findings that even people in their 80s, there's hope for all of us, rapidly add capacity to frequently used neural circuits. On November 5, 1998, the headline, News of the Week, in the most prestigious research journal, Science, read, New Leads to Brain Neuron Regeneration. The speed of the process caused an earthquake in the world of our scientific knowledge. When the neurons in a neural bundle are stimulated repeatedly, the number of synaptic connections can double in just an hour. If your house acted like your body, it would notice which lights you were turning on, and every hour it would double the amount of electrical conduit going to that light circuit. To obtain the raw materials to rewire the rooms in which you turn on the lights the most, your smart home would strip wiring from other sources. Our bodies do the same. Within 3 weeks of inactivity in an existing neural signaling pathway, the body starts to disassemble it in order to reuse those building blocks for active circuits. This process of neural plasticity is evident when we learn new mechanical skills or intellectual skills. Take an adult education class in Russian at your community college. That's his suggestion, not mine. By the end of the first hour, you've already learned a few words. By the end of a year of practice, you've built up those neural bundles enough to speak simple Russian sentences without conscious effort. You might think that chess is a mental challenge that will keep your mind sharp into old age and start playing. At first, you're terrible. You can't remember whether it's the castle or the knight that moves diagonally. But after a few games, you move the pieces around purposely and even start developing plans for long-term strategies. Whether you're learning a new language, mastering a new hobby, navigating a new relationship, grappling with a new job, or starting a meditation practice, your brain's process of building and unbuilding is at work. You're adding capacity to the neural circuits you're using the most actively, while old ones wither away, a process called pruning. Eventually, whole regions of the brain that are being actively used start to gain mass. With MRI scans, researchers are able to measure the volume of each part of a living human brain. They find that people who use their memory actively, like London cabbies who navigate a tangle of ancient streets, have a larger volume of brain tissue in the hippocampus, a part of the brain responsible for memory and learning. Dancers develop more mass in the part of the brain that manages proprioception, or something along those lines, the holographic understanding of the body's location in space. Your mind is constantly making decisions, such as whether to enroll in that Russian class or join the chess club. What the mind does then determines which brain circuits are engaged. The neural pathways in the brain that the mind's choices stimulate are the ones that grow. In this way, the mind literally creates the brain. That's a very interesting, helpful, and potentially scary subject. It's use it or lose it. Use it, and it gets stronger. Don't use it, it gets weaker. And that's true of physical muscles, neural muscles. It's also true of spiritual muscles. So let's turn to some scriptures to see what scientists look at when they're looking at the brain. They use the term self-directed neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity just means that the brain is capable of changing the wiring, the neural structures. And as we just heard, The way you create more neural structures and connections for better brain functioning is you use something. You think about it. You engage in it. You use it or lose it. That can be good news or it can be bad news. Let's turn to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I'm going to jump into the middle of a verse, because it contains the point that is consistent with the subject matter we're talking today. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. This is probably familiar to you. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So how we think helps define who we are, what we are. By thinking on good, we're building strong spiritual pathways for good. If we're thinking evil, we're building pathways for evil, and we don't want to go there. But we can also just simply neglect building by focusing on the things of the world and not the things of the spirit and not the things above, and we can allow spiritual neural pathways to just shrivel from non-use. We don't want to go there. For the sake of time, we won't turn back to Colossians 3:2, as we've read it already, and I've already mentioned it twice, and I'm going to mention it again. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Focus on that phrase. Set your mind. That implies something more than just a quick glance. That implies it's like you're putting a telescope. You're putting a telescope and you're focusing in and you're keeping the focus there. And you're not just swerving that telescope all around and looking at who knows what. Set your mind. It's a single-minded focus. Set your mind on things above. Spiritual things, not on the chaos that surrounds us on a day-to-day level. I know we live in a day-to-day world, and there are things that we do have to do. Sometimes, you know, okay, toilets get plugged. I realize that. Sometimes you have to go to deal with that. Sometimes cars break down. We have to work. We live in a physical world. But when we look at our physical world and we realize that there are spiritual elements that affect how we deal with that physical world, we can better navigate no matter what happens. The good, the bad, or the indifferent. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, read verses 5 through 11. Romans 8, 5 through 11. Paul, who was the author of Romans, was also the author of Colossians. And in Colossians 3:2, he said, set your mind on things above. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds. Here it is again. Set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's all they can see. They don't look for the spiritual aspects of living in this day-to-day life. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, what it omits is the repetition of the phrase, set the mind. So if we were to interpolate this as what he is saying, he said, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Paul is very consistent. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're going to die. We're physical. These physical bodies will end. But if the Spirit of God is in us, the death of the physical body does not mean the death of our future, because we are promised eternal life. And it's given to us through His Holy Spirit and through the forgiveness of sins by His sacrifice. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you. So we can see here, if we set our minds, that's what the regularly focused mind is on the flesh, it leads to death. But setting the mind on the things of the Spirit leads to eternal life. We can build good spiritual connections, or we can build bad spiritual connections. And the more we use them, whether good or bad, we are strengthening those connections and make it easier for those connections to flow in the future. So we want to be strengthening that which is good. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We'll read very familiar verses about the fruits of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh. We're going to start off in verse 19 with the works of the flesh. This is building evil spiritual connections. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you before, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are negative spiritual principles and connections we do not want to have, and we want those to wither away. But we can build good connections. And beginning in verse 22, when the fruits of the Spirit are listed, those good spiritual connections are outlined for us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. So these things are how we can go about properly developing our spiritual connections. So, we've seen three discoveries in cell biology and in neuroplasticity of the brain that have provided important and powerful analogies to our spiritual lives. Those are that on the cellular level, you are not the same person you used to be. On a spiritual level, we are also not supposed to be the same people we were. We are to be growing and replacing anything that needs pruning with that which is good and righteous based on the Word of God. Our second principle is your cells need the proper inputs in order to grow and flourish. Spiritually, we need the proper inputs to grow and flourish. The third principle, you become what you think. Just as how we engage our minds establishes neural connections and actually increases the mass of the minds and the way the neurons in your brain regulate and connect to make it more powerful, spiritually we do the same. What we use grows. What we neglect withers. Powerful messages for all of us, both on the physical and the spiritual level. Welcome to the new you.